The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozell Live by Dr. Tom Rozell, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live, right now. On 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on anything you'd like to talk about. And I'm sure you have a whole lot of things that are on your mind that you'd like some clarification on today. Well, guess what? We're here. We're in studio. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Love to put any clarification on any questions that you have. You know, it's an important time. We are in Panicville. It's called Coronaville, but it's Panicville. And we want to give you information, and we will as it goes on. And I'd like to answer your question specifically. But more importantly, we're not going to break stride. In studio with me, Dr. Harlan Browning, and we're going to be talking about low back pain. Guess what? You guys are home right now, and there's a whole lot of things that you can do. This Wednesday evening, the 1st of April, generally, we would invite you to our practice, and we invite you in, but because of, you know, social distancing and so forth, even though that we can handle about 50 people, we can't do that. So what are we going to do? You know, as they say, what's a boy to do when he's in trouble and he's got to change the format? So what we're going to be doing is have you register just as you normally would for the low back pain presentation. Just go online, say register now, and then we will send you a link to watch it virtually in the privacy of your own home. See, we adapted. We figured out how to continue to give you the information that you need to have, that you deserve to have, but all you have to do differently is just go online, go to rozellcare.com and hit register now. And it'll give you what to need to do. And then we will send you the link so you can watch it. And you'll hear Dr. Browning. You'll see the slide presentations. And you'll have all of that in the privacy of your own home. But right here, right now, 888-630-9625. We're going to talk about several things as the program goes on. But we want to hear from you as well. Dr. Browning, thanks for braving the slings and arrows and coming up to the studio with me today.
Oh, thanks for having me and Tom. You know, it's always good to get together on the weekends and talk about different health concepts. And we're not going to let the COVID slow us down. And it's going to give us an opportunity to use different platforms to get our message across. You know, the new video presentations being one of them. So I think we're going to learn a lot as we go along.
Indeed. You know, if people go on site, they're going to see that right now for the next couple of weeks, we have closed the door. The practice, with the exception of emergencies, we'll see people in significant pain, and we'll see people that, you know, suddenly get themselves in a lot of trouble. And all you have to do is call the office at 703-698-7117. Dr. Browning's on call. Everything will be patched through to us, and we will get back to you and make sure that we do the best that we can for you. So we're not abandoning you in any way whatsoever. We're still going to be there. We're still going to be able to give you the best information and help you if necessary, and we'll bring you in. And our office is about as sterile as it comes, but we'll do whatever we can to make a difference. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, people are home right now, and, you know, they're trying to do home repairs, and, you know, you and I were talking that you went over to Home Depot this morning and you're going to do some things at the house. But back pain is probably one of the number one disablers, if not the number one disabler, you know, in the country. And people suffer with it. They put up with it. They take huge amounts of medication to numb it up so they don't have to deal with it until it's too late. And then they have all kinds of degenerative disease that takes place and so forth. Let's, you know, what are people experiencing now? Not being mobile. They're home. They're, you know, they're eating things probably they shouldn't be touching. And are we seeing, you think we're going to see more back pain or about the same?
Yeah, I think we're kind of in a place of a kind of a perfect storm here. The combination of people not being as active as they should because they can't go to the gym, and a lot of times people just don't even want to go outside. And like you said, now we're getting involved with more comfort foods, you know, the starches, the sugars, and all those things. So the combination of the two, being more sedentary and eating more, we're going to put on weight, we're going to lose muscle tone. The end product could be back pain or could be any pain anywhere. So we've got to come up with alternatives, you know, moving forward while we're going through these tough times so we can maintain our strength, maintain our flexibility, keep a clean diet as much as possible.
When, you know, when we get into these cycles, if you will, and a lot of people do just normal depression, anxiety, and there's nothing normal about that. It shouldn't happen, but we're in that situation right now. And they do. They grab all kinds of things, and these are inflammatory. They increase the reaction. And the thing that they need to worry about also with this viral pattern that's out there, which has its own cytokine cascade, if you will, this overwhelming inflammation that takes place, is that any of these foods will make them more predisposed to that as well. But in back pain, when you have any kind of structural spinal back pain, whether it's low back pain, whether it's neck pain, but we're talking about low back pain today, that inflammation due to foods, due to stress, due to worry is going to become much more significant.
Absolutely. And the important part about understanding about inflammation is it's always going to go to the weakest link, meaning areas that have already have scar tissue formation or we have degeneration like arthritis. So it's like throwing gasoline on the works. So the more that we can control our diet and not put in those things that are inflammatory or maybe things that cause acidity in the body, the better it's going to be. You know, the end product of taking an anti-inflammatory is exactly that, reducing inflammation. The problem with taking those is it's a temporary fix most of the time because we're continuing to do those things that are causing us to have the inflammation. So if we look at the underlying situation and address that first, then our need for those anti-inflammatories is probably going to be a lot less.
So when you're dealing with, and the thing that people need to know is that when they're taking these anti-inflammatories, commonly called NSAIDs, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and that's your aspirin, by the way, and you're taking those on a regular basis, things get compounded simply because of the fact that it's not fixing the degeneration, it's knocking out the inflammation, and it's also blocking receptors, if you will, within the joint space from healing. And so we have this lousy spin, if you will, this this cascade that takes place.
Yeah, the long-term effect of just taking those means that we start to cause collateral damage to joints that are otherwise healthy. Just like you said, when we take these, research shows that it blocks the ability for the body to assimilate sulfur and other ions that are important to make strong cartilage. So the tissue actually becomes weaker over time, which sets us up for further failure. So got to be careful with these anti-inflammatories on the long haul. And a lot of times people assume, well, if it's over the counter, it can't be that bad for me. And we're seeing that more and more as patents wear out, things go to the over the counter. So now we can have access to them pretty quickly. We don't need a prescription. So just, you know, a few years ago, most of those antacids that we see in the pharmacies, the Prevacids, those were prescription only, but now we can grab them. So you're going to see more and more medications coming out that we can just get access to directly.
You know, the interesting thing that having to mention that just as a kind of a sidebar on it, any of these antacids actually will increase pain patterns much more significantly in the bodies because it blocks the acid, so you can absorb calcium as well and other minerals that your joint spaces desperately need to repair themselves. And by the way, just so you know, these medications, they're as a group, they're often called protein pump inhibitors or PPIs. Were never designed to be used more than a week or 10 days when they were initially brought out in the marketplace. And now they have people on them forever. And subsequently, you're not absorbing the things that you need from your minerals and vitamins, B12 and folate and so forth. It breaks it down. Now you have a problem. And by the way, B12 and folic acid are critical and the repair of ligaments within the tissue itself. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Give us a call. We're here in spite of what's going on outside because we have an obligation to you. We have to make sure that you are taken care of. This week's presentation, we would be normally in-house, and we'll be talking about low back pain and the things that you can do about it. But guess what we did for you? We're making it virtual. And so all you need to do is you need to go online, go to RoselleCare.com. That's RoselleCare.com. RoselleCare.com. Find the box, and it's you can't miss it. It says low back pain. And push register now, and we will send you the link. and you will see and hear Dr. Browning and the presentation, and we're going to send it to you so you can watch it in the privacy of your own home. And then if you need anything, all you have to do is give us a call or get online and send us an email at rosellcare.com, and Dr. Browning will get back to you, and we will do everything that we possibly can, particularly if you're in trouble, if you're in pain, you can't move right now. We are seeing emergency patients that are in desperate need. So give us a call. We'll do whatever we can to make a difference. Dr. Browning, as we're talking about low back pain and people are at home, and how do we distinguish what's critical? You know, are they in an acute situation? Is it something much more chronic? Is it something that, you know, they need to look underneath the sheets a little deeper that might be reflexive or referral from someplace else?
Yeah, so, you know, we know that pain is very subjective, meaning that the person's pain is unique to them. So they might give us a number, 0 to 10, this classic scale, you know, 10 being the worst. You know, what's your number? Someone might say a 6. Well, a different person who has the same level of pain might say that theirs is a 2 or a 10. So we take into consideration that subjective nature. But I think what becomes more important, and specifically to answer your question, when things are becoming different or a little bit more significant, is when we look at impairments. Does the person have pain and now has numbness in their foot? Or maybe they have weakness in their leg? Or they're starting to lose function of their hand. These are called impairments, which usually indicates that the problem is more significant. And certainly if these impairments compound over time, means that the problem is moving in the wrong direction. So that's when a person should certainly seek help.
So how about somebody that presents and, you know, they don't have significant amount of back pain, but every muscle in their back and their legs and so forth are tight. It's almost like a rope that won't release at all. And are we dealing with a back problem causing these things to take place, or could it be something else?
I mean, it could be something else. One of the classic patterns of a kidney stone is back pain. So you certainly need to take that into consideration. There's other types of disorders that can have referred pain as well, colon issues, reproductive organ issues, all those. So if the pain can't be reproduced or made worse, typically I start thinking there's some sort of organic situation or visceral problem. If you can change position and the pain gets a lot better or worse, that's when I start thinking that it's more musculoskeletal.
So when you have a musculoskeletal problem that presents itself, can it originate from an organic referral? So for example, somebody who has a bad gut, an intestinal tract problem, and not necessarily showing that way, but they're eating junk. They're sugar, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, you know, my mantra, right? Can that inflammatory reaction from the gut affect the structural system and then cause that type of problem?
Yeah, sure. So it's called a viscerosomatic reflex. The nerves in our body communicate with both organ systems and the musculoskeletal system as well. And they crosstalk. And that's a good thing. That's why we know we're having a heart attack. We get arm pain and jaw pain. That's the way the heart tells the body that there's something wrong. So we will often get these underlying viscerosomatic reflexes that are going on and on over periods of time. I see that a lot with people who have, irritable bowel. They have referred pain to other parts of the body, and they don't think about their digestion.
Yeah, the biggest problem is that we really are never trained as a society to look at things that way, and we set it aside and we say, oh my God, we always think of the worst, or not being able to target the thing that's actually taking place. We're in studio. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. My guest, Dr. Harlan Browning, and we're talking about low back pain, and the presentation will be available to you virtually. So don't go away. We're going to tell you more about that. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. I'm in studio because you deserve it. We want to make sure that you get the most updated information on everything you can possibly get it from, you know, COVID-19, and we're happy to take your questions on that today. All you need to do is give us a call here at the studio at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. And we're also talking about low back pain. And a lot of you are experiencing low back pain where, you know, you're kind of walking and dealing and putting up with it, but now you're home, you're sitting around, you're doing whatever, you're eating things that you shouldn't be eating, and that inflammatory reaction is flaring up. But who better to talk about it with me in studio? None other than Dr. Harlan Browning, and we're going to make sure that his presentation is available to you virtually. So the same drill, you go online at rozellecare.com and go register now, and they'll get some data, and we will send you midweek or so the link so you can go in and you can watch it at the privacy of your own house. Having said that, Dr. Browning, let's get back into the topic a little bit and talk about this low back problem. So let's deal with that. You know, people are home right now, and they're struggling with back pain. They're hurting. They're getting up off the sofa. They realize that they've been putting up with. We talked a little bit about medications that make things worse, actually, even though that they seem to work in the short term. What should people be aware of at this point?
Well, I think the single biggest issue, at least in my opinion, is sitting more. When we sit, a lot of bad things happen. Number one, the muscles in the front of our body called the hip flexors get shorter. And as they get shorter, they flatten the curve in the spine. The spine has primary curves. There's a curve in the neck, and it reverses itself in the mid-back, and then it returns in the low back. And that's called a lordosis. When we sit, then that curve will either become excessive or will become flattened. The issue with that is it changes the mechanics of the way the vertebrae move, the joints in the vertebrae, and the disc. So you put all this together, now we get shortening of muscles, we get joints that are becoming jammed, we get discs that are becoming stressed, we have nerves that are either compressed or traction. It's this big cauldron of issues, and it has a tendency to cascade, meaning people, when they start moving after they've been sitting, it hurts. So what do? They sit longer. The end product is we develop a pattern here that we might not be able to break so easily. So stand up, move. That's probably the biggest thing that you can do right now.
The second half of the program, I want to get into some of the things that they can do actually to help themselves and fix themselves. You know, we're all athletes in our homes, if you will. You know, the day-to-day mechanics of the things that we do, the, you know, bending over, and we say, well, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I have the opportunity to clean out my closets. I have the ability to, you know, go downstairs and clean out my shop or whatever it is. And the problem is that your body's not ready for it. You are exercising muscles that you haven't used in quite some time.
Yeah. So, you know, I was at Home Depot. We talked about this. So I have all these ideas that I should get done at the house. But, you know, the one thing for some people is if they're not used to bending forward or maybe crouching down or kneeling down, then they can put themselves in a worse place. So I would encourage people who want to do all these projects, the first thing is to get up, let's walk, let's stretch, let's elongate the tissue, because if you get down in a crouch position to paint the baseboard, then it might not be so easy to stand back up after that 20 or 30 minutes that you're down there.
Everything locks up.
Yes.
And particularly when you're not used to that type of movement, you haven't conditioned and trained yourself for it. And seriously, you know, I use the word athletes at home, and you truly are. You're doing things in a neuromuscular pattern that you haven't been accustomed to in quite some time, maybe ever, on that continual basis. You do a little bit here, a little bit there, and even reaching up and putting dishes away or moving shelves or, you know, taking clothes out and throwing things out and bagging them, then dragging them downstairs. All those things that we normally would do, people aren't ready to do.
No. And it really comes down on the initial part is being able to continue to do what we call activities of daily living, being able to, you know, carry the laundry upstairs, put the dishes away. All those things become super important. Sometimes we don't think about that as far as a goal. We think about, hey, I want to go back to playing tennis, or, hey, you know, I want to play 18 holes of golf. Well, if you're having a hard time going up and down the stairs or having a hard time lifting a 10-pound object, then the short-term goal should be able for you to do those things and not have pain.
You know, this is an interesting situation because we don't think about some of these scenarios. We don't think about how we react to them. We're going to give you a whole lot more in the second part of the program and things that you can actually do to make a difference. And who better than to tell you but Dr. Harlan Browning, as we call him lovingly, the professor. So don't go away. We'll be right back after these very important messages.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are in studio. We have braved the highways and the byways simply because we want to be here for you and give you the information that you deserve. This coming Wednesday evening is supposed to be our normal in-house continuing education presentation. So we sat there and tried to figure out, how do we get this to you? Well, we figured out a way. So here's what you do. Dr. Harlan Browning is your presenter, and he's in studio with me today, and we're talking about low back pain and low back pain of any sort and so forth. And those of you who've heard Dr. Browning before know that he's amazing, and that's why we call him the professor. So go to RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com, RozelleCare.com, and hit the button that says register now. And what that'll do is it'll put you in the queue and we'll send you the presentation virtually so you can watch it in the privacy of your own home. It'll be all the data that you normally get, and it'll be Dr. Browning. You'll see the entire presentation, the PowerPoint, all the data, and it's there for you. So go to RozelleCare.com, hit the button, register now, and you will get that information. So do it today. Do it right now before the show's over. Just scroll it up on your computer, and we'll make that happen for you. You'll have it to be able to look through it. So, Dr. Browning, you are going to be live virtually, something like that, on everybody's home computers.
Yeah, and, you know, this goes back to, I don't know, probably 2 or 3 years ago. You know, people would ask during the presentation, are you going to post this? Or, you know, do you plan on having this all on the website? So, unfortunately, I think this COVID situation has pushed our hand on that. So, you know, on the back end, this might be something good as far as getting information out to people so they can hear about different topics. If they don't have the opportunity to come and see it live, then it's recorded. It's on the website, and they can probably be able to scroll by topic. Hopefully we'll do it that way, and then be able to pull it up, and it'll be there forever and ever. And people will most likely be able to comment on the videos, and we should be able to answer questions even.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot more on virtual everything as we possibly can, as well as the radio program. And we're going to still invite you in for very special events. We're not going to stop that simply because of the fact our mission is dedicated to making sure that you get everything that you possibly can, including all the data that you need on this craziness that's going on right now, this COVID-19. And it's important that you pay attention to CDC regulations. It's important that you protect yourself. And there's a lot of ways of making that happen. And we've gone through, go to our website and you'll find information there. You go to my Facebook page, by the way. Just go to Tom Rozelle, look me up on Facebook, and everything that I post has to do with professional information. I'm not into the social back and forth of what I did for dinner last night or anything of that nature. There's very detailed, specific data there for you to use and to pick up and to do your research and make sure that you give me the feedback that is necessary. Let's get back into this a little bit, Dr. Browning. People are home and they're finding out that they have some back pain that they didn't have before or didn't notice or had blunted or had ignored in some way. And, you know, we want them to call us at 888-630-9625 and, you know, ask us any questions. But what can people do specifically? How would you walk them through it? How would you tell them, well, don't do this, but do this? These are things that you can do while you're sitting at home and try to help yourself quite a bit.
Well, first and foremost, if we're going to be at home and we're going to be sitting, then we're going to want to sit in a chair that has decent back support. So for the most part, you know, couches are taken out of that realm because they're more for comfort as opposed to function. The issue with sitting in a couch that's cushy is that the couch will sink down and our legs will become higher than the rest of our torso. So instead of us having a 90 degree angle at our waist, or relatively 90 degree, now the legs are brought too far up. So those hip flexors I talk about become shortened because the couch is cushioned and we sink into it. We talk about that, right? Oh, we sink into the couch. Right. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? Well, that means that our spine is flattening. That means that we're projecting our head forward and all of the tissue is going to start to remodel to this. If you think about sitting like a cast, like you put a cast on a leg when we break it, well, it kind of works that way. The longer that we sit, the more the tissue shortens or maybe even becomes excessively stretched. The body adapts to that by making the muscles become shorter. Our nervous system actually changes. It's very plastic. It does things as time passes, good or bad. And then we go to get up, and nothing wants to release. Those hip flexors stay locked in. Our muscles of anti-gravity that help stand us up don't want to engage. And now we're in a predicament. So that's the scenario where we stand up. Our back grabs us. We have to wait a couple seconds. We've all been there, right?
That's right.
And then we take a few steps, then it loosens up, and we go about our business. But as we sit longer, that lag time, that first few steps, is going to become longer and longer. And then very often, it's just going to be a pain syndrome that's going to be kind of in the background all the time.
So let me ask you a question that a lot of patients ask in office of both you and I. And I'm sure that our listeners right now are, you know, running this through their head. How did I get there? How did I get that locking up where I can't get up? I'm stuck and everything's tightening up on me.
I mean, it certainly can be from a previous injury. Maybe we strained our back 10 or 15 years ago. It didn't heal properly. That's really what we're talking about in many cases. It's just improper healing. The lack of pain does not indicate a lack of problem. And so there lies the issue. So if we pull our back and we're laid up for 2 weeks, and then the pain goes away, you know, it's human nature to say, well, then it must be healed. I'm good to go. Well, in many cases, that's not the case. The joint has been damaged. The connective tissue has been damaged. So the body will lay down scar tissue to protect it. And it's just not as viable and healthy as good quality tissue. So down the road, it makes it easier for us to throw our back out again and again. And then we often come up with expressions like, I have a trick back, right? We've heard that, a trick
Absolutely,
knee.
Yes.
That's when a person says to me they have a trick knee, that means that they've had multiple incidents where they've hurt their joint, it didn't heal right, and it's getting more and more unstable as time goes by. And that's their new mantra, trick whatever, back, knee, shoulder, or what have you.
So we have shortening of tissue, we have scar tissue.
Correct.
And scar tissue is inflexible. It's less vascular than most anything else.
Highly vested with nerves for pain.
Absolutely.
So when the interesting thing is, when we damage healthy nerves, they have a tendency to reheal as pain receptors, meaning that their role from telling us where our body is in space, let's say that's their job, telling us where we are, now becomes one of pain. So we can change their job from one description to the other, and the product is more centered towards pain.
So it perpetuates its own cycle.
It absolutely does, because now we become what's called antalgic, meaning that we start to do things differently to accommodate the pain. And sometimes we don't notice that because the pain pattern might be gone, but we still have that antalgic posture. I see it a lot with people. I'll ask them to walk, and I'll be, well, why are you limping? And they'll be like, well, I'm not. And I'm like, yes, you are. And then you'll show them this, and they'll say, well, you know, I hurt my ankle probably 2 or 3 years ago. It feels fine now. And I'm like, well, you're still antalgic. You're still favoring it, even though there's not necessarily a significant injury there. So the nervous system becomes rewired, so to speak.
So stretching. Everybody wants to know, well, I'll just stretch it out. Good or bad?
That's a million-dollar question. We could line this room up with the world's best experts. Some would say it's good. Some would say it's bad. I actually think it's probably a good thing to do because it gets people up and moving. If we want to get down to the nitty-gritty on the science behind it, the science actually shows that if we want to physically lengthen a tissue, meaning that if we look under a microscope, the connective tissue is actually longer, we need to hold those stretches for a long, long time, 5, 10, 15, or 20 minutes.
In one position.
Correct. Is that realistic? I don't think so. But the fact that we get up and we start to stretch, not only does it start to lengthen that tissue a little bit, it starts to relax the musculature. It starts to get us upright. So I think that the net positive far outweighs the research that says maybe stretching is nonsense.
You know, it comes down to a situation where a lot of people, and here's my kind of my thumbnail take on this. We have a tendency to stretch cold muscles, and we have a tendency to exercise cold muscles. And if you don't have enough blood supply, those muscle fibrils don't respond properly.
No, they don't. And the, you know, muscles have their own built-in meter that tells them how long they should be. There's these interfusal fibers that are deep inside the muscle that set the resting tone. And if those fibers want to stay short, then it's going to tell the rest of the muscle, hey, you better get on board and stay short. And that inherently is the problem. As so time goes by, those little tiny thermostats that tell the body what's going on start to tell us to stay short. So the movement is the key to elongating that and making the resting tone less.
You know, patients will go see their physicians and they get x-rays. In today's world right now, unless you're dying, you're not going to get an MRI or an x-ray taken. But at the end of the day, what they're told is, well, what do you expect? You have stenosis. And stenosis comes about for a lot of different things. It's basically a narrowing of the hole, the canal that the nerve comes through and goes to the muscle, goes to the organ system. And, or they'll say that you have facets, and facets are gliding points of the vertebrae and the back portion of the bone, the back portion of your back. And they can be extremely painful when they're enlarged, called hypertrophy. So my question that a patient, I'm going to give to you what a patient would have is, if I have a hypertrophied facet, enlarged facet, is that because I've been in one position too long over a long period of time? Is that due to damage? Is that due to what causes that to take place? How did I end up with that,
Doctor? All of the above. It's probably a combination of trauma, be significant, or what we call microtrauma. Sitting is a microtrauma. It's most likely because the connective tissue that surrounds that joint, it's called the Z joint, where these facets meet, one vertebrae articulates with the vertebrae below it, and the disc sits in between, and it keeps should keep the distance between them, but as the disc fails, then the vertebrae get closer together and these facets start to jam. And like anything else, when you irritate something in the body and inflame it, we're coming back to that inflammation thing here, the body's going to try to stabilize whatever structure that is. So if I'm raking the yard and I don't have gloves on, I get a callus right on my hand. In the spine or in any joint, as we start to irritate that cartilage, then it's going to thicken, and it's going to thicken with scar tissue, and that's that whole process that you called hypertrophy. It just gets bigger.
Let's go to the phones. Keith, thank you for calling. How can we help you, sir?
Hi. I just want to, unfortunately, one of my favorite subjects. I had surgery on my lower back 30 years ago when I was young, and I get chronic lower back pain. And the solution that I found that worked for me was something that's called trigger point injections. And it works every single time. Unfortunately, my doctor retired a year ago, and I'm wondering, does the Rossell Center do that?
We provide the opportunity to make that done, but let's tell you a little bit about trigger points, and you need to know both ends of it long term.
So, okay. What kind of procedures did you have done 30 years ago?
I had L4, L5, S1. It was a partial discectomy, but they did not fuse the vertebrae.
Okay, well, that's good. We prefer not to fuse, especially and if you're young. Fusions displace the movement of the vertebrae to the vertebrae above and below, and that just accelerates the process. So fusions, unless they're absolutely necessary, we prefer not to do those. Surgery 30 years ago was much more gross in its approach, meaning that they cut through a lot of musculature. Specifically, there's small muscles in your low back called the multifidi, and they're part of what we refer to as the core. When we cut through those, we effectively take them out of their role, which is stabilizing the vertebrae. So what's most likely happening with you is whatever muscles that are still in that area, they're trying to take over the role for the ones that were damaged 30 years ago, and they're going into spasm. So the injection, and typically right, they'll inject you with a combination of a anti-inflammatory and a painkiller, just relaxes the muscles temporarily.
Generally lidocaine.
Yes.
He only uses lidocaine. He doesn't use a steroid, only lidocaine.
Okay, so yeah, so it's just it's just to numb it. There's other ways that are just as effective. There's different ways that you can do acupuncture needling to the area. And I would say, without a doubt, you want to make sure that your core musculature is strong. That includes your abdominals, the deep back muscles, your pelvic floor is part of that, and your diaphragm. It makes the square box that surrounds our lumbar spine.
So, Keith, there's a lot of things you have to take into consideration. When you have to do something like that repetitively, and again, what you're doing is you're injecting a painkiller, which breaks the pain cycle. It's a chemical TENS unit, basically. And so you're allowing that musculature to relax. But the bottom line is, what's still triggering that muscle response in the body? So when we look at something, we're looking at, is the structural piece still unbalanced? And that can start from your foot all the way through. It can be an imbalance and a misalignment within the pelvis, the vertebrae itself. It could start up above at the skull level down, because there's this big covering that goes across the spinal column called the dura. It's a heavy, like, saran wrap or plastic sheath that goes in and protects it. And if that gets twisted or torqued because of misalignment anywhere within the structural system, it can cause a continuation of what was underneath it. So you get the disc gone, but the other piece is what caused the disc. So now you've got this repetitive, reoccurring muscle pattern, the spasm that goes on. You inject it, and it relaxes for a period of time because the pain receptors are not revisiting, but you still have a problem. So you have to find out what it is. So you need to look at the structural component. Is it balanced? You need to look at the biochemistry. Is there enough adequate magnesium and potassium in balance? Is there enough hydration? One of the primary causes of muscle spasm and tightening is the patient's not getting enough water in their diet. If they're drinking alcohol or coffee and other types of caffeine, those are dehydrating the system. Is there enough nutrient bases of other types? So you have to take it through each pattern. From an Oriental point of view, from a Chinese point of view, if the energetics are disturbed chronically over a period of time, and that happens because of chronic pain, chronic anything, then the body begins a self-perpetuating issue. So you have to look at it, you know, from our point of view at broader. If it was my back and I was in your situation, I would be doing many other things other than just going back and forth for lidocaine injection. So I hope that information helps. And what I would encourage you to do is, you know, reach out to one of us, Dr. Bunny, have a conversation with us, and be more than happy to point you in the right direction. You know, that's a common question, and unfortunately, it's a common procedure.
Absolutely. So, you know, to touch a little bit further on him, and obviously I don't know the extent of the problem or the history, the couple things that I would typically ask a person is, you know, obviously if they're having back pain, that's one thing. Are we having a referral of pain? Is there any pain into the legs? If we're having pain into the legs, then we can be pretty sure that there's some sort of nerve irritation, be it compression or some sort of traction taking place. If it's just local, then we need to look at the functionality of what's left after the procedure.
We're coming up to that break period again, and Dr. Harlan Browning is with me in studio. We're talking about back pain, and this Wednesday night is going to be his normal presentation, but it's going to be virtual. Go to RoselleCare.com and register, and we'll send you the link so you can watch the program in the privacy of your own home. It'll be eye-opening for you, I promise you, and we're going to try to do more of that as we go along. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. in the Mid-Atlantic area, right here on WMAL. Make sure you tune in, tell your friends about it. We're here for you through this whole crisis, and we have so much information that we want to share with you. You know, you need to go to our website, RozelleCare.com. Follow me on Facebook, and actually go to the office Facebook, RoselleCare.com or Roselle Center for Healing. But go to my Facebook site, go to Tom Rozelle, and you're going to find all kinds of little tidbits that are there about this coronavirus, the things that you need to know about, and any nutrients that you may need. You can always get a hold of us. We are available by simply calling 703-698-7117. That's 703-698-7117. And if you have a question, one of our doctors will get back to you. It's important that you protect yourself and your family, and there's ways of making sure that you do that other than just confining yourself. And I'm not telling you not to do that. I'm just saying that there's other things that you need to know about as well. Dr. Browning, you wanted to add to our last listener.
Yeah, because this is kind of a common pattern that I see is people show up down the road after they've had a procedure for their low back. So a couple things that I ask myself is, what has transpired over that time to cause them to have reoccurring pain? What is the structure that is irritated? One of the easiest things that you can do to get a good understanding of how functionally stable and sound the low back is, is to take a neck, simple x-ray standing, and then take another x-ray with the person bending forward and bending backwards. Not only does it tell us how much arthritis they have and, you know, if they have curvature in their spine, but it tells me when they bend forward and backward if their spine is functioning the way it should, meaning as they bend forward, they should lose the curve in their back. As they extend backwards, the curve should become greater. If those things don't take place, then you know from a mechanical standpoint that the spine has uncoupled itself and it's not predictable. So simple thing like that can help you understand what you need to do with the person. So I know you take these views as well. They're commonly done if a person has something called spondylolisthesis, which is the physical sliding of one vertebrae on another, but I like to do it just to see if the spine functions. Do the hinges actually open and close as the door opens and closes? We don't know that until we do the test. And remember, an x-ray is pretty much static, so when you take it in multiple angles, then you're going to get a better understanding of how the structure moves.
Absolutely, and any kind of motion examination is really what's critical. If somebody just pokes at your back and doesn't test muscles, doesn't put you in range of motion, doesn't compress the spine to see what shows up, and all of those things lead back to very specific levels and elements within the nervous system. And the mechanics of taking an x-ray in that position, you can see really what is taking place. Is there more motion at a higher level or lower level, which means that you're going to probably set yourself up for greater problems as time goes on. So all of the examination is critical, but the right approach is important. If you don't take the right approach, then you're constantly in a loop. You're going to end up with steroid injections or lidocaine injections or taking a medication or whatever. And you need to be much more proactive than that.
Absolutely. First and foremost, your joints are made to move. So when they stop moving, they deteriorate. Every muscle in the body crosses a joint. So their primary responsibility is to either stabilize that joint or to help that joint move. So you can kind of kill two birds with one stone by just getting up and moving around. You're going to allow the joint to go through its normal range of motion, which in large part is how it gets its nutrition and its fluid. It's called imbibition. We pump fluids in and out of a joint by movement. And by default, as we move, we're going to stretch muscles and we're going to contract them. That rhythmic contraction and stretching is very therapeutic to the nervous system. So you're getting a lot done just by simply getting up and moving as far as treating the joints and the muscles at the same time.
You know, and what we said earlier on about blood supply and scar tissue and so forth, it's important. It's critical that you understand that you have to keep blood supply moving. You have to make sure that things stay warm. The colder things get, the greater risk that you have of damaging your system and your spine and the like. So move, stretch, you know, but do it in a way that is protective. Don't just suddenly do something because now you're stretching a cold muscle that's not ready to move. And the chances are you're going to get hurt or put into spasm, and particularly if you don't have enough mineralization within your body.
Sure. And, you know, you don't want to destabilize other joints. You know, we exercise for the greater good, but we don't want to do that at the expense of now we develop a knee problem. Because inherently the one issue that I see with this whole lockdown of everybody is people are going to go back to doing exercises they haven't done in a long time, specifically running. Because I've been running a little bit more than I normally would, and I have a knee that's been beat up over the years. So it talks to me. So, you know, impact exercises, you want to make sure that your body can handle those.
It's critical. And just don't jump in. Remember I said athletes at home, go slowly, but do it. Just do things and stretch and warm up and make sure that you're getting enough hydration. Make sure your magnesium level is high enough. There's so many people that just cramp up and hurt simply because they don't have enough magnesium in your body. We're coming up to that point in the program where I'm going to say, I'll see you next week. We'll be here until they tell us we can't. Just remember one thing. We love you.